Welcome to the Radio Coffee House chat room, sponsored by The Big Day, the ultimate life coaching resource for all eight areas of your life. Here's your host, Robert W. Whipple.
Good morning, DFW. Good morning, America. And we are speaking live Saturday morning from the KLIF studios in Victory Plaza. My name is Robert Whipple, entrepreneur, and I have the privilege of working with Southern Painting. And Southern Painting is probably one of the most successful painting companies in America. That's pretty cool stuff. But I'm also the author of the best-selling book, The Big Day. I am your host for the Radio Coffee House chat room. And so what do we do on the Radio Coffee House chat room? Good question. It's a platform to discuss relevant topics. And boy, oh boy, do we have some relevant topics this morning in the studio. I mean, it's going to be good stuff. So kind of talking about our theme, let me ask you about a question. And I don't think there's an answer to it, but I think it's a good question. So here's the question I have for you. Why are people so reserved? Why are people so cautious about speaking about their faith in the marketplace? That's kind of a question. And then what does it mean talking about your faith? I mean, what does that term really mean? Because you hear the faith word tossed out a lot through different means, through different media. So that's kind of some of our topics that we're going to be talking about, is why are people so reserved about talking about their faith in the marketplace? And so our mission statement at the Radio Coffee House chat room is real simple, and that is to bring you hope in the midst of any obstacles you may be facing. So here's the best news of all, to win big time. And what does that mean, to win big time? Well, my co-host, my wife, is in the studio this morning. And Nurse Nancy, good morning to you.
Good morning.
We are excited because we're going to head down to Waco today to watch our granddaughter cheer for the state championship high school girls basketball program, Lake Country. Excited about that.
Yes, very exciting.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I like that because I love to see the intensity in those girls' faces. I mean, that just brings out sometimes the best in people when you get intense. And so this is a lot of fun. We're having a lot of fun in our life. I told Nancy yesterday, I said, I'm really enjoying our life. I mean, life is really good. And kind of, folks, that's the way it's supposed to be. I mean, really, you're not supposed to go through life all miserable. And that's kind of, again, back to our theme, the faith area, and why are people so reluctant. My very special guest in the studio this morning is a good friend of mine and a mentor of mine and a leader in several areas in my life, Bill Kushner. And welcome, Bill Kushner, to the Radio Coffee House chat room.
Well, thank you, Robert. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, he's Bill is quite a story, and we're going to get into that. But first, I have some housekeeping things I got to talk about, Bill and Nancy, and that I've got some really good news. We are releasing what we call the Big Day Goal Program, or the Big Day's Goal Program strategy, in about 3 weeks. It's going to be out somewhere around the third week of March or April. And so here's the good news. If you go to our website, and let me give you that website. It's www.readyforthebigday.com. If you go to that website and you want a copy of that, we will send that to you absolutely at no charge, no strings attached. And we've had a lot of people talk to us about that goals program. In my opinion, the Big Day Goal Program is the best there is I've ever seen. And I've seen literally hundreds, if not thousands. And we're not talking about trying to sell something. We're talking about something that can be a benefit to you. And the reason this is so powerful, because what it does, Bill, it bridges the gap between the natural and the spiritual. It bridges those two gaps together and gives you a realistic plan on how to do something with your life. Also, I got a note from Heather Lester yesterday, and she said it's official. I normally don't talk about, like, I don't like to talk about the book and try to push the book, The Big Day, but it is on sale starting tomorrow, and it's only on sale for from the 4th, the 5th, and the 6th, and it's on ebook, and you can get it for $4.99. So you'll go to Amazon to get that. But enough about that housekeeping. I want to get back into the show and what we're going to be talking about this morning. And I met Bill, I'm going to say it's, I'd say about 25 years ago. And I've always had a profound respect for him. He has an amazing background. And he served in 17 countries. He also served in 27 ports. And he was involved with the blockade duty of the Cuban Missile Crisis. For some of you that don't know what that is an amazing, that right there is a big time amazing story. Take a minute and tell me about that. I got to know about that.
Well, I was in the Navy, of course, and when you mentioned I served in all those ports, I was really a tourist at the pleasure of the United States government. I'd like to think of myself as an ambassador, but, you know, there were...
You weren't an ambassador, were you?
No, I was not. I was just another sailor, happy to get off the ship and have a good time on shore, but we like to think of ourselves as ambassadors, you know, serving our country. You know, in the peacetime Navy, it's a lot of routine things, and in that day, you could have liberty in Beirut, Lebanon, for heaven's sakes. You know, think about that, the way it's come today. But there was that one incident that happened that in October of 1962 where things got real serious there for a period of time. And I was a sonarman looking for submarines all that time and not finding too many. But one of the things that we were charged with was, of course, not knowing what the Soviet Union was going to throw our way. My ship, the USS Henley, among many others, were on blockade duty off of the coast of Cuba from different directions, just looking for what seemed to be an inevitable conflict. So it was the first time really in my Navy career and the last time that we were actually facing something that could turn out to be real action. And, you know, who knew how it was going to turn out?
So when you say blockade, what was your responsibility?
Just to cruise in our particular area of assignment, looking for, in our case, submarines. You weren't likely to encounter a surface vessel unexpectedly because there were aircraft and all sorts of resources that mm-hmm. were part of that. So we were looking for submarines.
So that's a story within itself. I mean, you could spend 3 days just on that story. I bet you do have some stories, but to get on to the topic at hand, our faith, I also want to talk about your business background. You worked with American Airlines as a passenger service rep.
Yes.
You also were a police officer in Michigan.
Yes, sir.
You were director of sales for Beauty Control Cosmetics, founder and president of New Covenant Jewelry and Gifts. You also served as a promotional director for Mary Kay Cosmetics.
Yes.
That was amazing.
It was.
And you're also executive VP of NutriFirst. Folks, it's amazing. He's got a background. He also owned his own business, so he's an entrepreneur. He's been married 54 years to Pat, and we are just excited to have you a part of the Radio Coffee House chat room today.
Thank you.
So with all of that background, is that something you envision coming out of school, or how did all that unfold?
Good heavens, no.
No.
I had no clue, and that's one of the things you mentioned about life. Man, it's an adventure. You just don't know how it's going to play out. No one would have predicted that my life would turn out the way it did. My dad was a truck driver, never went to high school. My mom went to high school but never graduated. No one in my family had ever gone that far. So when I graduated, the whole goal for me was to get a diploma and get a job. And that was how I started life, without the kind of credentials you'd love to have going into life, saying, all right, I'm prepared, let's go.
So you really got more of a street degree than anything else here.
I did. And, you know, there's something to be said about that, because I can tell you that, as you mentioned, some of the things that I've been privileged to do and being on in some fine companies like Mary Kay, I was in a sense, intimidated. It seemed like everybody had degrees and they'd have their rings and, you know, talk about their alma mater and all that stuff. And I just keep my mouth shut. I didn't talk a lot about the fact that I went to Schoolcraft College for a couple of years after I was a cop. You know, you just kind of kept that to yourself.
No, and you just handled the blockade duty, landed on the moon. And,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that doesn't serve you very well in business normally, those kinds of backgrounds. So when you don't have those credentials to rely on, you're going to do a little bit better job. You're going to make sure that whoever hires you keeps you, and you're grateful. And so you're going to, there's a side of the not being of the side of being with the privileged kind that just makes you aware that you don't want to be out there competing with people with master's degrees and other kind of things on their resumes, and you got Schoolcraft College on yours.
So you also have a little bit of radio experience. Talk to me a minute about that.
Well, you know, for a while I was with Don Spear with the Money Talk, and Don had a drive time radio show called Money Talk from 5 to 5:30, and when I was with the firm, I became kind of his sidekick, and he, again, it was a live radio broadcast every day, and so I got a little bit used to sitting behind a microphone and talking to myself in some cases, I thought.
Yeah, well, that's where I really got to know Bill, and we are going to get into some very interesting topics this morning, Whip, and we're also going to get into what some of our names, what we call motorcycle names, and I can't wait to talk about that, because this is kind of like real life, where the rubber meets the road, and we are fixing to go into a commercial break. Before we do that, I want to take a brief overview from the best-selling book, The Big Day. Every area of your life has two forces working and operating together. The natural force and the spiritual force. Both forces are like gravity. A natural force, which operates, it's invisible. Both forces are no respecter of people. They affect us all. The natural and the spiritual were never meant to be separated. In fact, life is 100% natural and 100% spiritual. They can operate independently, but they were designed to function together to achieve the maximum results of a successful life. We'll be right back and looking forward to talking with all of you, or talking with Bill and Cool Whip soon.
Hi, this is Jill with the newly released book, The Big Day, and I've got one power-packed word for you: thankfulness. Have you ever thought that thankfulness could be the winning game changer you've been needing in your life? Far from cliche, thankfulness is a valuable paradigm shift that can take your life from basic to above and beyond. As just one of the 11 cornerstones from our best-selling book, The Big Day, you'll discover why thankfulness makes a bigger impact than you'd think. Learn how thankfulness can put the odds of winning in your favor. The Big Day is your personal life coach, offering key concepts and tools to help you reach a consistent level of excellence and fulfillment in every area of your life. And thankfulness is just one of those game-winning strategies. The Big Day by Robert W. Whipple. Buy your copy on Amazon today. That's The Big Day by Robert W. Whipple.
If you're a single man under the age of 35, you'd probably like to know what the ladies are looking for on an online dating site. A guy who had a few drinks and later got pulled over for buzz driving. See, that could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. And doesn't a guy who's back living with his parents but calls them my roommates just scream, Mr. Right?
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Radio Coffee House chat room. Here's your host, Robert W. Whipple.
One other part of our business on the Radio Coffee House chat room, it is live, and so if you have a question, you can go to our website, which is www.readyforthebigday.com, write down your question and send that to us. We'll try to answer it. We can't get to everyone's call because we've had a number of people want to call in, but if we can take your call, we do want to do that and honor you as a guest of the Radio Coffee House chat room. That phone number is 888-787-5543. And also want to encourage you to go to Amazon, look up The Big Day by Robert Whipple. It's a great investment into your life. So the theme we're talking about this morning is working with and without faith in the marketplace, or wherever you are in life, whether you're retired, whether you're sitting at home this morning in bed, no matter if you're on your way to work. How does faith play, or what kind of faith does, or what kind of role does faith play in that area? So people have a lot of definitions about faith. And another question I had asked is, what is your definition? So, Bill, I think that's a good way to open this up. And so if I say to you, Bill Kushner, what is your definition of faith? What would that, what what would that look like?
Well, defining it for me would mean that I'm in a relationship with my Heavenly Father. I didn't have that the first 29 years of my life. In fact, I didn't have much of a relationship with my dad. Sadly, he was an alcoholic and he wasn't at home and all the rest of it. So I didn't know really how to relate to a good father. But when I came to the Lord at age 29, and that's when I was a policeman, boy, that changed my life completely. And I had actually had to deal with the fact that, okay, now you're a believer. How can you continue to do your job as a policeman, you know, with a whole new set of values and a whole new appreciation for humanity and love for your fellow man and all the rest of it? And I found that I could. I had to ask myself, for example, could you shoot someone? You know, now that you're a believer, you know, you're not supposed to be killing anybody, so to speak. And I answered that question, yes, I can. I can be a believer, and I can still do my job as a policeman. And so that was my first confrontation, if you will, with the old Bill Kushner unbeliever and the new Bill Kushner believer as a policeman.
So if you're saying this, if I'm understanding you correctly, you can mix your faith and business together in whatever you do.
Exactly. Now, you know, there's a balance, because if you're in a public corporation and you're working with people and you've got a certain job to do, that can't be the emphasis of everything you're doing. It's got to be somewhat low key, but I found that if you're prepared and you're willing to, number one, become known as a believer, and I think that's important. I think if you step out there, and I'm pretty outspoken about my faith. I was really wild as a new believer, I can tell you. It wasn't safe to be around me, man. If I just took a look at you, I felt like I had to tell you about my conversion experience, and you need the
Lord. You had to convert them.
Absolutely, and today and now, ideally. So I was not necessarily under control.
Yeah, I told somebody one time, I said, you're going to hell. That's what I told them.
Yeah, that's good.
And they said, yeah, that'll win you a lot of friends, Whip. And they said, you go to hell.
You go to hell.
Well, you know, what you're saying is there's some bad ways to witness. And, of course, confronting someone with their condition is not necessarily the best way to do it. And I know you've already told me we're going to talk a little bit about prison ministry, and we've ministered together in that regard. And the first thing you want to do is be sure you're doing some listening, and so that you can identify where a person's coming from. But in the marketplace itself and where you're working, it helps you to behave yourself, if nothing else. You're not going to be involved in the same kind of things after work or even on the job, maybe some of the jokes that are going to be told. You're not going to be involved in that sort of thing.
Well, you're not going to feel as comfortable with that.
Well, and they're going to be looking at you. If you've already made a kind of a claim that you are now following Jesus, then they're going to be watching to see how you react when you're in a circumstance where everybody else is doing their thing, and you're supposed to be different. And it's good to be different, but not to be arms folded, stern-faced, frowning at everybody kind of different.
Growling.
That just repels people.
Yeah, I'd much rather have sometimes a fake smile than a confirmed grouch any day of the week. And I don't like to be around grouchy people. Do you? That's one of the things that sometimes Whipple will say to me. Miss Whipple,
yes.
she goes, you look grouchy.
I said, smile.
Yeah, around the house.
It takes less muscles.
Yeah, that's what they say.
So you got to use some wisdom. So what you're saying, in effect, is you use some good common sense, which I think when you talk about wisdom, I think common sense and wisdom have a lot to do with each other. I think they're cousins. So when you're in the marketplace, what you're saying, if I'm hearing what you're saying, is that you have to use some common sense about sharing your faith.
You do, but the other part of it is, too, is you have, there's a lot of attributes that we would love to think that every believer has, and sadly, not everyone does. Loyalty, integrity.
Work ethic,
big time work ethic, so that you're
show
not,
up early.
A little early. I say this a lot to people that started like I did, without a lot of benefits, if you will. If you'll just get to work a little bit early, stay a little bit later, do a good job, you'll be noticed because everybody else is punching that clock, so to speak, right on time, getting out of the right on time, and all they care about is, when do I get to go home? When's my coffee break? When's lunch? And when's my vacation time? If you're not in that frame of mind, you're going to stand out. And that served me well.
So what you're doing, in effect, is you're setting an example.
Exactly.
So somebody can follow, like the Bible says, being a light. What you're doing And this is what I think, Bill, and this is my opinion, and I'm convinced it's the 100% accurate. You won't hear me say that very often, but the real church or the real testimony starts on Monday morning. Starts the Monday morning through Saturday. You know, anyone can go to, let's say, a house of worship mm-hmm. and raise their hands. I'm not making fun of anyone, but the real rubber of the road, the real test, the real area is what you're doing, an example you're leading. Not that we're perfect, because, you know, there's only two people perfect, and that's God and Nancy. So go.
So I liked what my grandson's teacher told the class. She said, if you're on time, you're late. If you're early, you're on time. And if you're late, you're fired.
There you go.
So I always thought that was, and I loved it that she told it to the high school class.
So what we're doing is we're talking about using some common sense, setting an example, use wisdom. I like the word wisdom. I think that helps me. So here's a question. What are some of the platforms that you can use in talking about your faith? So one of them is being a good example. I'd say, like, in the way your house is kept up, the way your yard is kept up. Sometimes you may need to paint your home. Wow, that's a good
great
one, isn't it?
Idea.
That's great.
By the way, like I did, use Southern Painting.
So yes. Southern Painting painted your home.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So give a 5-second plug.
Well, they came on time, did a good job, cleaned up afterwards, and we were perfectly satisfied. Thank you very much.
So
it looks amazing, right?
Yeah.
It did.
Does it need to be painted? It's been a while, though, hasn't it?
It has.
Yeah, it's time to paint it again.
It is.
So you may want to call for your complimentary estimate. And, of course, we're having fun here. But let's talk about the realization of, let's say, the real world. And let's say you're facing some problems. How do you use your faith in that problem? I mean, I know sometimes it's easy to set your faith down, or what I have done in the past, set it to the side and start trying to figure out all this stuff by myself.
You're talking about me, man.
Yeah, become the God of my own life. And so I want to be God, and I'll say, God, you're good at this and that, but let me figure this out. But that's not what we're supposed to do at all.
Yeah, we're not supposed to, of course. We all have our I don't mean theories, but we have our scriptures in our mind about trusting God, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and we can kind of have that mantra, and then all of a sudden, the minute you stop talking, you start worrying again about what's going to happen.
Right.
Now, that's the sad case of things, but underlying all that, even though we're human beings, we're going to have these emotions, we're going to have our fears and our doubts. Underlying all that is a foundation that, you know, God, when you stop and look back, God is in control. He knows about all this. He knows how it's going to turn out. And I know he's not going to let me down. I'm not sure how it's going to turn out. I just don't want to fail. I don't want to miss what he wants me to do. That's the biggest fear I have. It isn't so much failing. It's failing to discern what I'm supposed to do in these circumstances. And one of the things we're supposed to do is have peace in the middle of it all. I haven't always had that. But again, boy, we can always talk about how we can high-step our way through all our problems and smile and grin and all
and
that.
Everything's going to be fine. That's not realistic. We talked about this before we went on, and I've shared this a number of times, but also, I think it bears repeating that I'm not a positive person. I'm not real fond of positive people, and people just shudder and they go, well, that sounds kind of like, you know, the opposite, but it's not. It's being a realist. And understanding that you can have problems in the marketplace, you can have problems at home, you can have problems with your marriage, you can have problems with your health, and we could go on and on and on and on. But that's where the faith can start helping you. And for me, like you were talking about, for me, it's not having to try to figure everything out.
You know, it's an amazing thing. Whenever you meet someone that you discover has gone through a difficult time, and I don't necessarily mean meet them, but you knew them during the time they were going a difficult time, and you didn't even know about it because their demeanor, their attitude,
their smile,
it didn't change. And then suddenly you realize golly, during that period of time they were going through, and you just admire that so much because they weren't mullygrubbing all the time and complaining and looking for everybody to come and give them a hug when they were going through a trial. So that's a good testimony.
Especially when it seems like, Nancy, that things are not working out. I mean, again, you can put on a good face. You can shout a few scriptures. You can say a few what I call spiritual or religious things. But in reality, inside you're like this bundle of nerves. And that's what faith is supposed to do. It's supposed to help calm that.
Calm it.
Kind of like start helping you. And see, you were never meant to do, that's why we talked about the spiritual and the natural. You were never meant to do life alone. I mean, you can, and I have, we all have. We all have tried to be the God of our own lives. By 4:15, 4:30 when I wake up, I've got 34 ways to make it work. Now, I'm saying that, making fun of myself, but I still continue to try to do that. I still want to say, okay, I'm going to make this work, and I'm going to take this problem on, and I'm going to be a tough guy, and I'm going to, but no, you don't have to be such a tough guy. You don't have to know all the answers. You don't have to have everything figured out. Here's the bottom line on this segment. You can begin to enjoy your life in the midst of the junk you're going through, and I love the story that you said. What really is a testimony to you, you don't even know that person's going through that stuff, but they seem to have a peace and a confidence.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And then you're saying that's an example. When you talked about examples and looking up to someone, you made some kind remarks about the leadership that you've kind of attributed to me. And that's a very affirming thing. And that's what I'm glad I'm exhibiting that, even though I don't know that I am.
Yeah, before we go into our next commercial, go ahead, yeah. Whip.
Oh, no, I'm chuckling here with Bill Kushner.
Yeah, this is correct. Good stuff.
It's great stuff.
Yeah, because this is life-changing that you're going, hey, these guys have real issues. They have real opportunity that they're facing. And I just want to ask you one quick question, and I know we're running out of commercial, we're going into a commercial break, but what have you used to cope with this? I mean, for example, using faith. Tell me how you use faith to cope with an issue that you may be having.
Well, you know, I'm more of a kind just to knuckle down and say, look, stop worrying about it. Stop crying about it. You didn't expect this to happen. Just knuckle down and get through it. And again, it's not so much somehow a spirit of peace just envelops me like some sort of a miracle. But yeah. Once I've determined to go forward, I know that God is with me. I just get it done, and I don't cry about it.
So the point is, we have a free will to make the choices that we want to make. And so the natural consists of our free will. One of the most powerful things you can have is the opportunity to make a choice. And that's the choice of what you do, the choice of how you respond, the choice of how you're going to interact with that difficult situation. And so that comes down to, for example, your PLA, your powerful learning agenda. It comes down to you choosing your attitude when things are not looking good. It comes down with you saying, you know what? I'm going to do something about this, but I'm not going to have it all figured out. I'm going to start making small changes. I'm going to start developing that faith muscle. I'm going to start working with it. Well, we have got so much to cover in these next 30 minutes. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
When your alarm goes off in the morning, do you hit the snooze button? If so, you've probably fallen prey to the acceptable norm, thinking that today is just a normal day. Well, good news, it's not. Today is full of opportunity. Why limit the potential of a perfectly good day that could change your life for the best? We often sell ourselves short when we look at each day as if it's as normal as all the others. We even have to peel ourselves out of bed sometimes because we lose the vision of the adventure and untapped potential ahead of us, and even within us. But the truth is, each day is something to get excited about. Think of what your life would be like in 1 year if you woke up every day like it was Christmas morning. As a personal life coach, let our new book show you how to turn an average day into the big day. It's time to beat your alarm to the punch and wake up ready for the success that awaits you. The Big Day by Robert W. Whipple. Buy your copy on Amazon today.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Radio Coffee House chat room. Here's your host, Robert W. Whipple.
Well, good morning, Dallas-Fort Worth. We're talking in the Radio Coffee House chat room about working with and without your faith in the marketplace and whatever position you may be in. And our guest today, Bill Kushner. I'm Robert Whipple. And also our co-host is Nancy. And we're going to change directions a little bit, Bill. And I want to talk a little bit about your involvement in certain organizations, which is just fascinating. And one of those organizations is the Bill Glass Ministry Behind the Walls. And so you're the leader of a team of men that ride motorcycles that go into prisons. And you've been into many. Like, how many prisons have you been into?
A little over 100.
So you go into areas that a lot of people don't want to go into, and you go in with Bill Glass. Tell me a little bit about Bill Glass and what that's about.
Well, if you're a football fan, you may remember, and an older football fan, I should say, that Bill Glass played football for the Cleveland Browns way back some 45, 50 years ago, and became a I don't know if they actually played the Super Bowl, if they had such a thing. I don't think they did back then, but they were a winning football team.
But he was all pro, wasn't he?
He was all pro, exactly. And he played for Baylor, and he's in their Baylor Hall of Fame. So he had quite a stellar career. And at one point in time, Bill, our recently departed America's pastor, Billy Graham, had Bill as a platform guest at one of the Crusades. And it was Billy Graham's suggestion that he go into the prison ministry while they were doing these crusades in the city. And that was the birth of what was known as Champions for Life and now Behind the Walls Ministry. So what happens is that everybody that goes is a volunteer. Bill calls us teammates. And we'll go into a prison, as you and I are going to be doing here in just a couple of weeks, down in Huntsville, for example. There'll be a kind of a rally the night before. Then the next day we'll go into the unit. Those of us that are on motorcycles, we'll go riding around and making a lot of noise, except you, of course, because you have a Honda.
And you okay. You opened it up.
You have to have a recording of a Harley in order to.
So this is it. So
the Harley versus the Hondas.
On my iPhone, I have a beautiful picture of the brand new 2018 Goldwing. And so, I mean, it is beautiful. And I took a picture of it last night, and we went to look at it at the dealership. And it is everything that anyone could ever want in a bike. But when I texted it to a couple of my friends, they sent back responses like, you know, real men ride Harleys, not Goldwings. And so here are all you guys.
It's funny.
We go into the prison, and they're all dressed like pirates. And they got these loud, monstrous, boom, boom, boom. You know how it goes. And here I am. I look like a golf pro. Zoo. And it's a testimony when you go in there. And what's funny is they all crowd around my bike because mine got the best looking bike. I mean, I really have a good looking bike.
You do.
It's an older bike, but it's a lot of fun.
It doesn't look like it.
No, but it
doesn't look older.
But it gets those guys' attention. And I remember one time, Bill, that we were there in prison going in and talking. And so we get to take our bikes into the prison.
Absolutely.
And ride them around in the yard and make noise. That is good about the Harley because they do make the noise.
They'd make a lot of noise whenever Kent was there at the house with his, and he revved it up a little bit. My dog must have jumped 3 feet.
Yeah, and the neighbors did too. So, so anyway, here we are. So we take these motorcycles in there, and I have this one of the prison inmates, and one of the inmates, I said, sit on the bike. So he'd sit on the bike, and I'd say, now just pretend like you're riding down the highway on that thing. And you could see his eyes starting to swell up, the water swelling up, because it was ministering to him. And I'm going, you think it's ministering to you? So let's talk about that a minute. So have you been into death row before?
I have not been into death row, but, you know, I've thought about that a lot. We're all on death row, aren't we?
Kind of.
And as a matter of fact, I was really kind of contemplating that the other day about the people that are on death row. Unless they're sick,
yeah,
they know they're not going to die in the next period of time.
Yes.
Right? They're not going to get hit by a bus.
Yes.
They're not going to get run over by an 18-wheeler on your motorcycle. I mean, they're pretty safe, if you want to say it that way. And they don't necessarily know when their appointment comes. For the rest of us out here, man, we're living like, we better live like we're on death row, because you never know, especially if you ride a motorcycle.
So what's amazed you about going in with Bill Glass in the prison ministry?
It's nothing like people would expect. I'm almost more comfortable in a prison yard than I am just about anywhere else. I've become comfortable.
Explain that.
Well, it's because, for example, one of the things we do is we're greeting them as they come out of the units for the program. And each day there are platform guests that perform. They have testimonies. You've got everything from high wire acts, jugglers, that kind of thing. And then our job is just to be there to intermingle with the inmates. So here they come out. It'll be like a Friday morning. And they're just, thank you for coming. They're glad we came.
They shake your hands. They look you in the eye.
A lot of them are wearing these little crosses. There's a lot of believers in prison.
Yes.
A lot of believers in prison.
Interesting.
That's the first thing you discover.
Okay.
And you're almost out there fishing, hoping you're going to find somebody that's not a believer in a way, because there's been so much ministry, frankly. Bill Glass, among others, that go there on an ongoing basis.
But that's not a bad thing.
Oh, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
No, it's a good thing. But you have to, if you're going in there strictly looking for lost people, you're going to be disappointed unless you just show up and say, you know, Lord, whoever I speak with, let me be a blessing to them. Let me listen to their story. And let me encourage them if they're a believer, and certainly deliver the goods if they're not.
So here's another side here of that. This is something I think it's somewhat kind of like interesting, is some people would say, well, they're just doing that for what they call a jailhouse religion. I've heard that term. Or they're just doing that to maybe put on a good show. And I got news for you. We all do that, whether or not we're in behind the bars or not. Sometimes we all do that to put on that little bit of a show or put on the Ritz. So I'm not going to say it doesn't happen, because it happens with everybody. It even happens with pastors. The show. They put on the Ritz.
So when I was making Robert's reservation, for you guys to go on this trip, the lady said, you know what? She was asking me about it. And so I was telling her, you know, that you all go in and you have this ministry. And she says, you know what? My son's incarcerated. And I'm just praying that somebody will come and talk to him. So that's...
Well, it affects us all, Nance.
Yes.
It affects, I mean, there's not one person, if you really, it's kind of like when you have bad things start happening in your life, or like something tragic happens, you don't realize how it's affected everyone. And this is the same thing about going into prison ministry. So let's take a minute. Tell me, I know you've got probably countless stories, but tell me one of your all-favorite time stories about going in there. I mean, I've done it, not like you have. I could tell you just some of my stories, but I'm just sitting here thinking as I'm going through my file and my mind, thinking about all the people that I've seen affected. So, okay, I'm going to ask me a question, Bill. So Mr. Whipple, here's a good question. Tell me one of your stories. One of the best stories. Sorry, Bill.
He was going to ask you, but
sorry,
now
Bill.
He's
you're out. Yeah,
you're
now,
out.
Sorry, Bill Kuster. Who's Bill Kuster, Nancy? I don't know who Bill Kuster is.
I mean,
he looks good.
Yeah, you got to take over now.
So
okay.
Here's a good story. So tell me what's impacted you the most about like going in prison. So I smoke cigarettes, and I'm supposed to be a Christian, and so Christians are not supposed to smoke, you know. And I had this religious kind of spirit about me, and so this is the last day we got ready to leave, and this is a number of years ago, and so there was this one guy sitting down there by himself, and so I went down there and just was going to minister to him, and I saw he had one of these pins on, and it was called Jesus First, Jerry Falwell pin, and he said, are you Christian? He said, yeah. I said, any prayer you need? He said, yeah. He said, I'd like you to pray for my smoking. I said, that's interesting. So I had the Marlboro 100s out in the Pinto, ready to smoke on the way back. And I said, you know what? Let's just pray for each other. So he prayed for me. It gives me chill bumps right now. This is a guy that's incarcerated behind the bars. He's praying for me not me praying for him.
Right.
That's the real life. And
for
you know
not
what
to
happened.
Smoke. For you not to smoke.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And you know the moral of the story. I mean, the bottom line on that story is I never smoked again from that point forward.
Wow.
I mean, that's a testimony within itself. And so, take a minute and tell me about one. I know you've got, like I said, lots, but just give us one.
Well, I think the most dramatic thing that's happened, I meet a lot of individuals like you did that have a story. And by the way, let me say this. You can, if you've never been into a prison and talking to the guy mano a mano, you can have all kinds of, well, they got what's coming to them. And if they don't.
They deserve it.
Oh, they deserve it. And why are you going to? But brother, when you start talking to some of these guys and hear how they got their start in life, I talked about mine. It was peanuts, you know, like they've got a mother that was a prostitute. They were dealing drugs. These different men would come to their home or their, you know, and all that stuff. I thought, my Lord, no wonder. So you deal with them as one human being to another, not some sort of look at me and look at you, you know, that kind of thing.
That's a pious attitude.
That's a pious attitude. But one time we were in I think it was in Houston. It was not a prison yard. It was a jail. They had several floors. And it was an interesting thing because usually you have the platform guest and you're out there among them on the yard. In this case, the platform guest was going like from floor to floor and you're just chasing around. It was really kind of chaotic in a way. So we were standing here by the elevator, and there was this like this little holding room. There must have been 15 inmates sitting in that holding room, and I stepped in there. And one of the guys said, you know what? We're not going to be able to be at one of the programs. Would you share with us? And I thought, wow. So I had this audience, and I go through the steps of—
That was in Houston, wasn't it?
That was in
Houston. Yeah, I had the same thing happen to me.
There you go.
Is that crazy?
It is.
I mean, I had the whole pod. There was like 45 or 50 men, no mic.
Well, this was a little bit different because it wasn't a pod. They were just kind of like trustees.
Okay.
And they weren't going to be a part of the program. So I passed out the little tract and I prayed with them and stuff. And I always try to make sure that we're just not, you know, they're going along to get along, so to speak.
Not just going through the motions.
Every one of them prayed that prayer. And every one of them prayed that prayer. And later, when we were getting ready to leave, one of them called me over. We're on a different floor now. And he said, I just want you to know we were serious. And it really happened. I mean, that was the most thrilling thing I could possibly hear. Because you don't know for sure.
Yeah, well, you never know. But, you know, that our job, and that's a good point, Bill, our job is really not to second guess and saying, okay, is this a God? You know, and this kind of what we're going to wrap up and bring that back into the other realms of life. But this is so good, folks. This is good information that we're talking about. We're talking about life-changing information, your faith. How does your faith involve? How does your faith involve going into prison ministry? How does your faith work in the marketplace? Or how does your faith work when you're retired? Et cetera, et cetera. Good stuff. Folks, we'll be right back after this commercial break and looking forward to finishing up with you.
Life is 100% natural and at the same time, 100% spiritual. These are two overlapping realities that were never meant to be separated. But the truth is, we separate them all the time. We often live in one reality and forget about the other. But not anymore. With our new book, The Big Day, you'll discover how to combine the wisdom of God with practical tools for success, and then watch all eight areas of your life flourish. For example, learn to walk in God's wisdom when planning for your future, or exercise your muscles while you exercise your faith. As you practice both, you'll see just how naturally it comes. Today is the big day to make the most of both the natural and the spiritual aspects of life. It's time to lift the limitations on your level of abundance and walk in the fullness you were meant to enjoy. The Big Day by Robert W. Whipple. Buy your copy on Amazon today.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman. You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Radio Coffee House chat room. Here's your host, Robert W. Whipple.
You know, I've just got to say this before we go into our last segment. If you want to get involved in something that's life-changing, I'm talking about like from the ground floor and up. If you want to get involved with Bill Glass Ministries. All you have to do is just pull it up. You just type in Google Bill Glass Behind the Walls or just Bill Glass and you'll see it come up. Talk about something that puts a new perspective in your faith. Talk about something that changes the course of your life. When you start going in, and this ministry is worldwide. It's all over the country, too. I know they're going, I believe they've been into foreign countries, right?
They have, yeah.
But also, they go into like hundreds of prisons every year. Just go on, and they'll be in your area. Or you may have to have a short travel. You don't have to have a motorcycle. You don't have to have a leather jacket. Right. You don't have to be Zippy. That's his name. That's his road name. What is my road name, by the way?
Squeezer.
The Squeezer. What does that mean?
What, y'all remember the old days of the Charmin commercial? Give him a plug, and there was a guy that went out there and squeezed the Charmin. And so
see, I like the Squeezer. I like the Squeezer.
His name was Mr. Whipple.
You know, I see the Squeezer as somebody, man, you're the intimidator. You're the guys. But anyway, this is something I'm going to encourage you to do, Bill and Nancy. This is something I think everyone should think about doing, taking your game to a new level, getting out of the stands, getting on the playing field. This is a great area.
Well, I like to read about whoever's going to come on the radio show, I like to read about what they're doing. Like, so you're involved with Bill Glass. Right. So I thought, you know what, I'm just going to pull it up and read about it. So anyway, it said that he didn't think he was going to fit in. You know, when he first started that, he was afraid that he wouldn't relate to, he puts it here, street kids and gangsters in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
Yeah, I'm not like them.
Yeah. He didn't know what to expect, but after he overcame his fear, he saw these dramatic results, and he was hooked. And after that, it's such a great testimony.
You know it is, and the thing is these guys, man, they're hungry for anyone that will talk to them, just as another
attention,
human
yeah.
being. Now the officers, bless their hearts, I mean, they got a job to do. They can't
right.
be chummy, if you want to say it.
No, they got to be tough. They got to be the Squeezer.
Yeah, and the enforcer, if you will. So you know, they march everywhere they go, and they got to have their hands behind their back and all that kind of stuff because it's regimented that way. So when
nothing wrong with that, by the way.
There's nothing wrong with that. It has to be that way
yeah.
to keep order. But when you go in there just as a human being. And listen to their story and talk and call them by name and share with them from your heart and don't try to be phony and all the rest of it. Boy, they respond to that. It's a perfect environment for them to receive what it is the Lord has for you to say.
Bill is also involved with the Christian Motorcycles Association, and he is the ride captain and also Patriot Guard riders. And so I want to talk a minute about Patriot Guard riders. What is that? What is that about?
Yeah, just to clarify, CMA, I was not a ride captain. I'm a ride captain. I want to clarify because if one of those dudes are listening, they're going to call me up and say, you weren't the ride captain.
They're like,
Zippy was not the ride captain.
Wait a minute. Right there.
I was president for a while, but I wasn't the ride captain. The Patriot Guard riders, if you've ever seen a funeral procession that's got some motorcycles behind it with American flags and branch flags flying and so forth, I think a lot of people have become familiar with the Patriot Guard riders for that reason. But there's some 300,000 of us nationwide, actually. And when a family invites us to be a part of honoring their loved one that's been honorably discharged, we come only when the family requests our presence.
Uh-huh.
Then we are going to be there to have a flag line at the funeral home or at the church. We're going to be involved in a procession from there to the whatever cemetery there is, and many of them take place out at the DFW National Cemetery in Grand Prairie, and then we're going to have a flag line there. In other words, we're going to do everything we can to make sure that that hero has a proper send-off.
So if you had a motorcycle, you want to get involved with something other than prison ministry or just, of course, you don't have to have a motorcycle to be involved with the prison ministry, I want to say that, but let's say you wanted to be a part of the Patriot Guard Riders. How would they do that? Would they just call you, or how would they?
No, we have a website. And by the way, you don't have to ride a motorcycle.
Okay.
You don't have to be a veteran. You don't have to be a guy. We have a mix. All you have to be is someone that wants to honor the heroes that made us and kept us free. That's all. So North TX, spelling this out, North TX PGR will get you, just like you said, Google. It'll take you to our site, and it's got all the little tabs about, you know, all the things you need to know in order to participate. You don't have to really join, but by going there and putting yourself on the email list, you'll be notified of the missions that we call the missions that are coming up. We have a calendar that shows what the missions are. You click on it. It tells you where it's going to be, what time you should be there. And there are a lot of things on the website, too, that gives flag protocol, how we do the history of the. So there's a lot of information. You don't have to come in totally cold, but if you do, someone's going to take you by the hand and make sure that you know exactly what is expected of you. And it's not much. Mostly we say it's just to stand tall and silent in honor of the vet that we are honoring that particular day.
So here's a question I would ask you, and this is something that you, the listener, is what does faith have to do with all of this? It has everything to do with it, because the real involvement of faith, Nancy, Bill, the real involvement of faith is getting your eyes off of yourself. So exactly. What you're doing is you're taking the focus away from your deal, your problem, your life, and putting it where it could start affecting other people. Here's the good news. I mean, this is so good. When you start doing that, you will see that the issue that you had back at home is going to start kind of working its way out.
Right.
The sun is still going to come up tomorrow. It's still going to start being okay. But what's happening is you're not just focusing in and attracting in to all that junk. And what you're doing is you're saying, you know what? I'm going to start focusing in on other stuff besides just me. And this is something that's really been a big time ministry to me, or big help to me, is when I see people that I know they got stuff going on at home. I know there's problems. Even some of the people are going to Bill Glass or the Patriot or CMA or whatever you're doing. It could be helping someone in the Goodwill, whatever you're doing. What you're seeing is, in effect, real faith in action.
Yes.
You're seeing the real faith of God saying, you know what? I'm bigger than that thing. And I'm bigger than whatever that issue may be. So we're kind of starting to wrap up here. I've got a few more notes I want to cover, but I kind of want to leave the last minute or so to you, Bill, as honor you as our guest. And, you know, I just want to say, what would you have to say to people? What kind of message would Bill Kushner, you know, and we're not talking about something that's got to be like this coming down from Mount Sinai, the message, but just kind of like on a practical basis, if you had to say something to people that you said, this is the Bill Kushner, I want to say a couple of things, what would you want to say to people?
Well, I think based on my own personal life experience, I guess, would be don't let your circumstances or your start in life define what the rest of your life is going to be.
Wow.
Take whatever the hand you've been dealt and say, all right, Lord, this is what I've been dealt. I don't have a degree. I don't have a lot of money. I don't have a father that nurtured me through life. I'm going to do the best I can with the opportunities that you give me. And then do the best you can with those opportunities. And it's amazing. I know your book is wonderful in having a very defined goal-setting process and all of that. That's perfect. If you're not in that mode, just show up and do the best you can.
Start where you are.
As far as your secular job is concerned. And just remember, you're serving the Lord wherever you are, at whatever level you are. So you're honoring him by doing that good job. But it's not only just honoring him. You're going to do better in life by doing it that way. So you talked earlier about wisdom and this whole amalgamation, if you will, about work ethic and honesty and faith. And it really all works together. It's just a nice formula for success in life and success as a believer.
Bill, thank you for joining us this morning on the Radio Coffee House chat room. It has been such a pleasure.
We're going to have him back because he has way too many stories.
I mean, this guy is amazing.
You just touch him and they just come out, you know.
I don't say that very often about very many people. I think that when we talk about kind of like what our bottom line is today, I want to take just a couple of minutes and talk about, okay, what did we get today? What was the Radio Coffee House all about? So I think the first kind of like the first step is to understand that everyone has faith, okay, no matter who you are. We all have faith. You may have a lack of faith therein, but that's okay. I mean, we all have that. But you got to start working it like a muscle. So you got to start where you are, like Bill Kushner said, and you just got to show up. Faith is action. And so that's an action word. That means you start doing something and you start proceeding wherever you are. You don't have to have all the answers. Faith is really going to be a life changer for you. Faith, developing your faith, whatever it's in. So I like that. It's a life changer. It's a area where you can go from to two. It's a starting place. It's a vehicle. Faith is so, so wonderful. Another thing I want to talk about in closing today is don't give up. I mean, come on, guys. Don't give up. Don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up on what you're starting to do. God has got great things for you. The Bible says that he knows the plans he has for us. And it's not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. And finally, faith is about a relationship. It's not about a religion. It's not about joining a church. It's not about saying the right words. It's about a relationship. That's where the reality of faith really starts to work out. And it's a relationship that you have. It's a personal relationship. It's a personal relationship that you start to develop. It's not something you say a prayer and you go, okay, now it's finished. No, that's the starting of that relationship. And I would say, hey, everyone that's in the sound of my voice today, take that step of faith. Start that relationship. Start to do things you've never done before. And well, we have had so much fun this morning. Again, I am thankful for all of you. Go on to our website. We'd love to have you, www.readyforthebigday.com. Next week, we have Chauncey Franks, TCU Life and Character Coach. We're excited that he's going to be with us. And thank you again, Bill Kushner. Thank you, Nancy. You guys make it a great week up, and we'll talk to you soon. Hello, I'm Robert Whipple, author, husband, grandfather, and entrepreneur. So here lies the question. Have you ever noticed that life is like a human obstacle course? I have. That is why it is my privilege and honor to introduce to you The Big Day, a best-selling book which includes over 35 years